all of you here are Bible students. All of you are... This is a great church family because everybody knows Scripture. So we can just enjoy it together. Let's enjoy it and start from our perspective, 2 Corinthians 5... Oh, where's my Bible? I'm so excited. I forgot my Bible. Okay. Let's start in 2 Corinthians 5. And I put our starting passages up here on the board so you can kind of cheat ahead. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and by the way, I think about that from time to time, and the older we get, the more we start thinking about things like that, because we know we're not getting any younger, and we know things don't work like they used to work, and, you know, it's just the way of... So we're thinking about heaven. If it were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Let's pray and commit the time to the Lord. Thank you, Father, for where we're going, and we thank you for where our family membership is right now. We thank you for the Spirit that indwells us to assure us of that fact and to guarantee our inheritance. I thank you personally for this wonderful group of believers that loves your word. We thank you that your truth will be magnified in the eternal state, as well as your holiness and your glory. We thank you that we can get a glimpse into heaven right now while we're still dwelling in this foreign realm of Satan's world. We thank you for the wonderful contentment and hope that indwells us because of your word and your Spirit. I pray that everyone that made the effort to show up this morning would be blessed because of your word, your word would not be thwarted, but it would be work its way into our lives and our minds and be a blessing. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Eternal in the heavens. Go to chapter 12 now. Skip over 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Eternal in the heavens. Let's read 1 through 4, 2 Corinthians 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. So Paul describes his journey into the presence of God. Now, before we read the rest of the verses, think for a minute. And this is for your edification as well as mine. Think how many passages the Lord gives us in the canon of Scripture where we are brought into the presence of heaven in the heavenly places. Think, can you categorically remember in your mind the passages? Can you turn to the verses? By the way, at this point in my Christian life, I really appreciate anyone, as you do as well, which is why you're here, that can turn to the verses. And life is simple. The older we get, the more simplified everything gets. Because if we can turn to verses, then it doesn't matter what happens to us. We have our security and our contentment in who we are and where we're going. We need to be able to turn to the verses. And that's why the Christian life is a discipline. Because of who we are, where we're going, we need to know about it. And to help other people, we need to be able to turn to the verses. And that's what I've grown to appreciate over the last couple of years. Verse 2, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself will I not glory, but in my infirmities. So the trials that Paul is teaching us about in this dispensation, the trials and the infirmities and the groanings of Satan's world are directly correlated to a solution, which is the heavenlies and where we're going and thinking about who we are in the heavens. This is very important. This is therapy that works, is God's Word in and through us. And you guys that are young, you guys that are teens and just preteens, getting started, the world tells you this works for your gratification. They're wrong. They lie. This is what works for your gratification in life. And all of us gray hairs in the room will tell you that that's true. Because many of us have experienced the wrong way, and we say, you know, by the way, God had it right all along. So trust in His Word, and your life will be prosperous in your contentment in life until we see our Lord. Okay, let's keep going here to read these other verses. Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1. We're going to talk about our inheritance before we delve into heaven's content here. Just to get you off, you and I off on the right foot of thinking about who we are and what we have to look forward to. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to look at 3 and 10. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In the heavenly places in Christ. That, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Now, Stephen has helped me with a caricature, giving you a visual on the eternal state. The heavenlies, we are going to be administrating, and the earthly kingdom where the Lord will be sitting in the God's city, in Jerusalem, there will be an eternal correlation and interaction forevermore. And this is what should be in our expectation in where our minds are at, where our life is directed toward. Now, the more that we read about what's going on in heaven right now as we're sitting here in San Juan Capistrano, the more I realize that the Lord He's got His blueprints out, and He's got His building and preparation, His armies, the New Jerusalem, all the dwelling places, everything is getting prepared for transport to come down to Jerusalem for the eternal city, that 1,500 cubic mile structure, sphere, which will be like the size of Australia, sitting down in the Middle East, and not only two-dimensional, but three-dimensional. It's going to be all the way up into space. It's going to be enormous. And the whole solar system that God has designed, all the magnetic pull and all the bands of power are going to be used to focus and support Earth and the heavenlies, and you and I will be part of the administration of the whole interaction. Now, this is a big deal because the people, the angels that we're going to be in charge of, they're going up and down. They're coming down to see the Lord. They're coming up to us to get administration and orders. We're going to have a lot to do. Okay? So this is where we're going. This is really cool to get this picture in our mind. So, every time heaven is open to the prophets, as we read about, every time, it's preparing something about the fulfillment of God's covenants to His people and to set it up for the eternal state. Now, this is where everything is getting set up for. This is really cool. Oh, let's read the verse on what we're going to be doing about the angels. I know I've mentioned it a couple times, but it's good to read the verse, because no matter how often we read the verse, we never read the verse enough. Verse 3 of chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, know ye not that we shall judge the angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? The duties that we will have shed direct light on the motivation in which we go about our duties now. This should be our motivation for our position in authority in the eternal state, is why we do what we do now. Okay? Not the flesh. We don't trust in the flesh. We don't trust in television or the internet or anything else. We trust in what God's Word says. Easy to say, hard to do. But the more we read the verses, the easier it is to do. Now, let's do a segue into the New Jerusalem, because the prophets spent a lot of ink on talking about the New Jerusalem. This is what God is preparing. There, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And all throughout Scripture, from verse 1, all throughout Scripture, God is directing us toward the eternal heaven and earth. Okay, we're in the middle of a hiccup right now. So let's go to Exodus 15. Let's read about... Anybody tell me what happened in what they're writing about in Exodus 15? It's the Song of Moses. And what did they just finish doing, Moses and the children of Israel? What did they just come from? Okay, they just came through the Red Sea. Had they set up the law and the tabernacles yet? No, they had not. Okay, so look at verses 17 and 18 of chapter 15. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance. This is the Song of Moses. This is celebration after crossing, and they are worshiping the Lord, and they are uttering prophecy. In the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established, the Lord shall reign. How long? Now, the sanctuary had already been built. This is what's going on in glory. The Lord is going to build this. He's preparing it to come down here. Has built this thing. Now, he is going to give the blueprints to who? Moses. He's going to give the blueprints. He's going to actually show Moses what it's going to look like. So when Moses looks at the job for the final inspection, the head contractor, the head city inspector comes in. Moses is, he looks at the thing and says, yep, that's what it looks like. And so God is going to open up heaven, and he's going to show him an image, a template of what he's trying to teach the people on earth about what the eternal state's going to be. So this is their traveling school, so to speak, educating them on eternity. Rather than having their eyes set on all the problems in the wilderness, that generation, which they did, they blew it because they didn't trust in the traveling school that was going through the wilderness. They died off, except for Joshua and Caleb, and the next generation got to go in. So they didn't trust in God's Word. We need to trust in God's Word. Look over to Revelation. Let's read through last two chapters. Revelation 21 and 22. Revelation 21 and 22. These are awesome. When you get down with life and all the details that smack us in the face every day, you know, we're coming on hard economic times. We don't know what's going to happen in this crazy country of ours. We might be really poor. We might be standing in bread lines. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't want to be a naysayer, but, you know, prosperity is not guaranteed in a country and in any country. Things happen. We have lived a great quality of life here in this wonderful country. But when things get really difficult in life, or we lose our health, or whatever what happens, just let's read about how everything ends up. And sometimes that just makes you feel great. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, think back to our Exodus passage. We just talked about this place, and the Lord had it established. And now, in John's revelation, it's being talked about again. And it's getting ready. The time is short. It's getting ready to be revealed. And this description is really important for you and I to know where God's mind is at as far as the eternal state. Prepared as a bride, adorned for a husband, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. One of the things about Satan's world is tears, is heartbreak. This life is hard. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain. Wouldn't that be great? No more pain? No more pain. For the former things are passed away, and He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. By the way, water is part of eternity. What is water? What is water made of? Hydrogen? Oxygen? Why do we think this time is so foreign than heaven? We shouldn't think that way. The eternal state is going to be comprised, of course, without sin, without corruption, but everything around us God has designed and created out of heaven, because before this earth was established, the stuff came from heaven. All the stuff, the brilliance that we see came from heaven, from God's riches in glory. So we should have that mindset as well. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbeliever, etc., etc., goes all the way down. And he carried me away to the great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem. Now here we are, again, in the presence of heaven. John is transported, and he sees ahead of time what is going to come to fruition. He is transported. What verse? You don't know what verse? Verse 10. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as could. Now, you guys know what color jasper is, ladies? Huh? Green? I thought it was brown. Wasn't that in the necklace I bought you? Was that? Well, didn't it? It had a lot of brown. Maybe that was probably fake jasper. It's green now. Yeah. Thank you, dear. It had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates had 12 angels, which names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So, Israel, the Jews, the 12 tribes, the 12 apostles, all you guys all know this, they will be part of the administration of the eternal state on heaven. In earth. Thank you. It's great being in church with a lot of Bible students. Okay, let's get down to the foundations, verse 19. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Now, one of the reasons I picked this passage was to remind us that the gold and the silver and all the commodities that are appreciating right now in the markets, the origin was in heaven. Okay? That's where they came from. God established this earth from the riches of His heavenly state, where His throne is right now. His throne won't always be there. So, I say that to say this, that the eternal state, as we're thinking about this morning, is not going to be foreign to us. And I really believe that the more I studied on this subject, the more I realized that He is showing us heaven all through the prophets, all over the place. And the more we read about it, the more our perspective will change as far as the details of life now. And I think that's the way we are to live. We are to set our minds on, we are to set our affections on things where? Above. And this is our challenge, is to have the mind of Christ rather than the mind of false doctrine of the world. The things that are attractive to our flesh. Okay, let's skip down to verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Now there'll be Gentiles saved, and they will be coming to the eternal city. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. There will be, they will have to pay their dues to the king in the eternal state. So taxes are going to be forever. And the gates of it shall be not shut, be shut up at all, at all by day. Now there'll be no fear of thievery. There'll be no greed. None of that mindset. None of that sin. No fear of people breaking and entering. Right now in our communities, a lot of us arm ourselves to protect our families, which is one of the great things about this country. We still have the freedom to protect ourselves from invaders into our families, into our privacy, into the security of our homes. But there will be no need for that then. The gates will be wide open. There'll still be gates, but they'll be open all the time. For there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. See, Satan will be out of the picture. His big job is deception, is lie. From the beginning, he's been doing this. He's been deceiving people away from the truth. Hath God said? And making the lie look attractive and comfortable. And this is what you and I run through our washing machine every day in our mind. We have to filter out, we have to wash out all of Satan's lie because we know who we are. And this is the Christian life today. Every time we turn on the boob tube, we don't do this anymore. We go, and here comes all the beautiful people are there, all the beautiful sin that just, there's no consequences and life goes on and la-di-da. And so it's just a big lie. And we have to filter through that all the time. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm going to read a little bit into 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. Now don't lose the picture in your mind here. This is a city the size of Australia. This is enormous. It's 1,500 miles high. 1,500. It's enormous. What did we study in Bible study? It was from San Diego to middle of Texas somewhere. Houston? What did John say? Up to the Canadian San Antonio? to the Canadian border? Two-dimensionally, then the third dimension is 1,500 miles up. You know what you're looking at, 1,500 miles up? That's Mount Everest. What did I read on the internet? 273 times up to Mount Everest. It's going to be a big place. In the midst of the, verse 2, in the midst of the street on either side of the river, and there was a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for healing of the nation. See, water, vegetation, and we always have to eat fruit. I mean, we're supposed to eat fruit today. We're going to have to eat fruit in heaven, so you better get used to it, guys. It's just part of fruit and vegetables will be part of our existence. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. So behold, I am coming quickly. So that's how He sets the perspective for His return. He gives us a glimpse, and then His people, going through the tribulation, will be expecting they know what to expect, so their hopes are up. And it will be a blessed time for the remnant of Israel going through the tribulation. Let's look at some creatures some more. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 5. I like animals. And there's animals all, every time heaven is open, there's animals. I love animals. What is it about children and animals and music and all these wonderful things that God has given to us that is just so, it's so gratifying? Well, maybe not children, but animals are always gratifying. Just kidding. Okay. Look at verse 8 of chapter 5. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, we'll be able to smell. God understands what smells good and what not. Some perfumes I smell smell awful. And I went, why does that person, not just women, but guys, you know, they put on this cologne, it's terrible. And some stuff just smells so good, you just want to follow them around, it just smells so good. It's awesome. Elizabeth had some perfume on this morning, she came in the kitchen, wow, that smells good. It's just some perfume, and God invented stuff that smells good. And not only did it come from heaven, but He gave it to Moses. And all the incense and the things that smell, it's going to be part of the eternal state. So, the music that God has invented and given to us, the instruments, everything is going to come out of glory. And we love music in our house, and I'm sure you guys do too. Music, Jan was playing yesterday as I was reading through my passages, and she just is great pianist. I might be prejudiced, but she just has a great touch on the keys that I don't think you can teach a person. Some people just have it and some people just don't. I do not have it. But my girls understand music, and music fills the house, and it's very satisfying. It's just very comforting, and it's just wonderful. And we'll have music forever. It's part of the eternal blessing that God has. Now, music was invented in heaven. Now, it's going on right now. Well, how do I know that? Because of the passages. And by the way, I would suggest, if you kind of think like I do, you might not care, but what I do is I put subjects in the back of my Bible like heaven. And then I'll put a verse trail. Like I did last time I spoke on contentment. So I put comfort. I put comfort and I put a trail of verses. So when you're alone and things aren't going quite so hot, and you can get a perspective and go down the trail of verses. I like to do that. That works for me. You guys do what works for you. But the verses really are what keep us in line. Okay. Did I finish the verse? Were your prayers? Yes. Okay, let's go to another verse. Genesis 28. Let's study about what Stephen, you see Stephen's drawing up here, he's got people going up to heaven, and he's got a guy getting ready to go down to the earth. We have ascending and descending. You guys know where the dream was? Genesis 28, what's going on there? Jacob's ladder? Okay. Now, where is the correlation verse in the New Testament talking about Nathanael? John? Let's get that. Let's get John's gospel with your finger in Genesis 28. Go over to John and let's read the two passages. Now, the reason I want to do this is to keep our perspective on the eternal state. Right, the last verse of John 1. But first of all, let's read Genesis 28. Let's go to the dream, verse 12. And he dreamed, And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached into heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. Now look at this verse. You guys know where I am? Genesis 28, 12, and 13. And behold, verse 13, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. Now look at this line. The land whereon thou liest to give thee, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and the east and the north and the south, etc., etc. So the eternal covenant was restated there for him, for Jacob. And the thing that distinguishes this verse is the physical land that, and the Lord's intent to settle upon it. Okay? Really important. Because if you just go walking through that place and look at the dirt, it just looks like any other field. But the Lord was opening up heaven to show him what to expect in his inheritance and what he was a part of. And this is the way you and I should live. No matter what our age, there's no distinction on age, whether you're 19 or 90. It doesn't matter. Age has nothing to do with it. It's what we're expecting and what our frame of reference is for living and making decisions. This affects our life, is what we're expecting to be a part of. This affected the patriarchs. Now let's go back to John. Let's read the last verse. Now Jesus was talking to Nathanael, a man of no guile, and he said to him, verse 51, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, I have a little picture in my margin here of this. I have, since they're going to be ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, they're descending, that means the Son of Man is on earth, and his throne is in the New Jerusalem, here in that very spot where they were, where he was talking. And this is his expectation, to be on the eternal kingdom on earth. Of course, we are told, and we read the verses at the beginning, that we are going to be in the heavenlies, where our inheritance is and our responsibilities. We are going to be in direct interaction with the kingdom on earth in the whole thing, the whole plan of God, Ephesians 1, in heavens and earth will be fulfilled. And this is what you and I are actually, we are committed to this responsibility now because of the blood of Christ, because of what we inherit. This is really cool. To me, this just makes my day. I really get excited about this because it gives us hope beyond our own capacity. Oh, let's read it. And he was afraid, Genesis 28:17, and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. That's very, very clear. And I think it's human nature, and I think mankind has been spiritualizing things since day one, since Satan said, hath God said. Man has been trying to spiritualize or make God's word an allegory all the time and make it kind of ethereal. And it's just, we need to trust in the words and in the physical me. When I stand before the Lord, I don't know about you guys, when I stand before Him, I would rather be criticized for taking His word literally at face value than to be criticized for spiritualizing everything and throwing the truth up in the air. But I'm sure you guys feel the same way. Okay, let's go down to Zechariah. And let's get a picture of the kingdom, how important it's going to be to appreciate God's people. God's people. And the relationship of the Jews to Zechariah 8. To to the rest of the kingdom. Where'd Zechariah go? See, Zechariah. Oh, there it is. Okay. We're going to look at we're going to look at chapters 8 and 14 a little bit. This is great. Zechariah 8:1. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury." Thus saith the Lord, "I am returned unto Zion. I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." So, truth will be magnified. Truth will be glorified in you and I, even though it's not politically correct. Truth, the Lord values and holds up truth. And actually, it will be remembered for all eternity. So you and I should not be bashful to seek truth, to train our children to do the same so the next generation can appreciate and pursue truth. Truth is of the Lord. To be politically correct is not to seek truth. That is liberalism. There's no accountability. It's just whatever makes you feel okay is what you should pursue. And that's Satan's lie. So truth will be magnified forever and ever. And that's what heaven gives us. Look over at verse 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, "We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." This will be the eternal state on earth. And this is the administrative function out of that city, the size of Australia, that will be in the Middle East and will be dominating the world. Very important to appreciate the value of Israel and God's plan. Look over at chapter 14. This is a great chapter too. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." By the way, right now in heaven, there are armies, myriads of armies getting preparing and organizing for battle. And they have a military budget in heaven. We have somewhat of a military budget, but nothing like the heavenly armies that are preparing. And in heaven, we got to appreciate what the expectations are in heaven. The expectations are is to make things right and fulfill the prophets. And you and I are instructed to be a part of that expectation. This is what gives us truth and wisdom, is to be able to appreciate what's going to go on. So in heaven, when we think about the armies, not only the animals and the music and the water and the lightning and the sun and the weather that's in heaven and the physics and the stones of gold and the jasper stones that are brown and the everything but the armies. Reddish brown. See that? Look at verse 9. "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one." Okay, let's flip over to... look at this verse over in Ezekiel 43. Now, Ezekiel's great. Ezekiel is just full of color. Ezekiel 43:7-10. 7 and 10. I'm just scattering out the verses because I just want to get bits of the glimpse of heaven. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. And my holy name shall be the house of Israel, no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. Verse 10, Thou, Son of Man, show the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. So the pattern of the New Jerusalem, the sinless New Jerusalem, was a motivation for Israel to get their act in order. And that's what the prophets were trying to teach the people. The purity of the New Jerusalem should be there. And that's what our expectation is for our inheritance in the heavenlies, is to keep our affection on things above. I'll look over at 48, just to reiterate the presence of the Lord. It says in right at the end of Ezekiel, last verse in Ezekiel, it was round about 18,000 measures. And the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. And that's defining the state of Jerusalem. Now, the physical substance of eternity. Look at back to chapter 28. Let's read about Ezekiel. Let's read about some of that again. Ezekiel 28:13. Sorry, my verses aren't better organized for content. Maybe I do this more often, I'll get better. Ezekiel 28:13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. It's talking about Satan here and his existence prior to the creation, the way the Lord has garnished the earth with all of his stones, etc. Thou hast been in Eden, in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, and workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Now, Satan was created, obviously, prior to the earth, and all these things that we enjoy were in heaven prior to earth's existence. So, again, heaven is not that much different than what we see here. Of course, everything has been affected by sin, but for our perspective, it really helps. Look over at Ezekiel 28:13-14. Okay, very good. I think I made my musical instruments predated the earth, etc., etc. Just to appreciate music, instruments, everything was invented by God and given to the earth. Very important to keep our perspective on that. Okay, go back to Revelation 1 as we glimpse into heaven again. It's quarter till. I got 5 minutes. Okay, let's read a little bit about John's transport, then we'll be done. Oh, Revelation 19 is the armies. And the horses. Oh, we can't miss the horses. God. Revelation 1:9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in the tribulation, in the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. So he was transported into heaven. And we think about, John gave us the example, if you think about being transported and just kind of define time and space, remember that Satan, Lucifer showed the Lord Jesus at the temptation in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, he showed, revealed the nations of the world from that one point where the Lord was. So remember that if Satan can do it, surely it's no problem for the Lord to pick John and transport him into time and to reveal the future and what was going to come on, come down. Let's flip over to... I want to go over the rainbow. The horses? Okay, let's end with the horses. Let's go to Matthew, let's go to Revelation 19. This is cool. You know what's cool about this? And I grew up with horses until I found out about a dirt bike, and then the horses were gone. But what about the horses here is they're all clean. And that's great. I don't know who brushes them or who washes them up in heaven, but there's dirt in heaven because there's mountains. And I don't know, horses just, they get dirty. They roll, and all of a sudden they're not beautiful anymore. And all the stuff just cakes into their... And you got to brush it out, and it's just a mess. But when they're all shiny, there's nothing more beautiful than a horse, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. Okay, let's go over to 19 and look. What verse is this? This is just 11 through 14, then we're done. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Now, how many horses do you suppose there are in heaven if everybody's riding one? And it says, Scripture says that the army is innumerable. No, it says the angels are innumerable in heaven. I checked that. So anyway, there's a lot of horses. White horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean. By the way, how do we get linen? It's made from what? Flax. Flax is organic. So there's got to be farming in heaven. So that gives a lot of other connotations of work and maintenance. So, I love animals, I love horses. I'm really looking forward to seeing firsthand how all this correlates back and forth. And how much of the livestock the Lord's going to bring with Him when He comes down in the new city. And how much we get to enjoy, you know, we got to have horses too, don't we? And for sure we're going to have labs. So we'll have labs in heaven. But thank you for going through the passages with me. Thank you for being so loving to God's Word. It's just very gratifying to be with you all. So let's be dismissed, have some good fellowship, and Rich will be coming to share.